podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
House. And I tell you, man, it's just a special anointing that rests here. As my brother's fixing to speak to you, turned around a minute ago, and he said, this is a powerful house right here. And I started to tell him, would he expect anything less from me? I'm going where the power is. I've been coming up here for a long time. There used to be a slogan on the radio that said, a church alive is worth the drive. So, it's worth the drive, amen? Well, I've got a friend of mine who's going to speak to you this morning. He's a dear friend. I haven't known Jamie long, but it's one of those relationships to where when you meet somebody, the spirit knows the spirit. It doesn't take a long time to figure that out, but a mutual friend of ours, George Valdez, George had a kind of a similar past like Jamie and I. Jamie and I went to same kind of college, Georgia State, you know. He just called me one day and he said, man, he said, you got to meet this guy. And I said, okay, man, because, you know, if you come from that recommendation, I believe it's good. And so he came, he spoke to the guys, and it's been a few months back, and I said, man, you got to come back. Because the guys, you know, they just ate it up. They went to the altar. He came. He spoke last night. Had a big altar call. Had a lot of guys I thought were saved. They got saved last night, I guess. But yeah, just a great brother. And I told Pastor Gilbert, I said, man, we need to let him come up here and share. And so I wanted you guys to get to meet my friend Jamie. And he brought a great friend of his, Victor. Both of them, like, I call them Batman and Robin. They're just a great tag team, Timothy and Paul. And Jamie is celebrating today 19 years of being free. Amen? Today, this day. That's a long time. And God has done some great things in his life. He has a beautiful wife and two children. Just published a book. Just hit the streets last week, I think. And he only has 14 copies with him. So, I told him to sell a few up here and take a few to the south. So if you want one, when it's over, grab him. Like I said, he's only got 14 with him. So, but anyway, we're going to watch a little clip here, and then Jamie's going to come up and share with you guys. God bless you today.
Okay, up next, he was tailed by the feds for an entire year because they wanted to put him away for life.
I'm very sick. I'm afraid. I knew that I was going to spend the rest of my life in prison and die there.
Hear why he says he had to go to prison to find freedom. Next.
They say truth is stranger than fiction. Jamie Torres has been ambushed, shot 6 times in his chest, and even had his throat slit by an angry ex-wife. But nothing ever shook him to his core until he met an unusually happy man inside his prison.
I felt like I didn't fit in. The kids would start laughing at me, and the more they laughed, the more I got angrier.
As a mixed-race child, Jamie Torres was often the target of ridicule. His mother was white and unmarried. His father was a Puerto Rican whom he never met.
My father deceived my mom. He already had a family, and it just crushed my mama, and we ended up in the South Bronx.
His troubles increased when his mom married and had other children.
There was a difference between them being white and me dark-skinned. I started hanging out with people who accepted me. But those people, they were affiliated with gangs. And I loved them because they were just like me. I felt like, man, this is really what I've been looking for. I fit in. And they asked me to do whatever, and because I longed for their approval, I did whatever it took to earn their love.
Jamie's zeal often got him into trouble. So when he was 14, his mom sent him to Puerto Rico to meet his real dad.
For the first time, I feel like, wow, I feel like I had an identity. I belong to him. Come to find out, my dad was a drug dealer in Puerto Rico. And next thing I know, I started working with my dad and became addicted to smoking weed and then the cocaine. And then you look to subside that pain and that rejection, because I felt, even though I was in Puerto Rico and with my real dad, I still felt rejected from, I just didn't fit in. And the only time I felt a little bit good was when I was high.
Jamie eventually moved back to the States. He kicked his drug habit, but stayed in the drug trade.
I got hooked up with some Cubans and Colombians. I was getting kilos from Colombia. You know, I got involved in with a crew that was real strong. Money was my God. The more money and drugs I had, the more people acknowledged me. You're my man, and I loved that. I had to go get that money by all means necessary. I didn't care what it took.
Throughout his 20s, Jamie's drug business grew, which put him on the FBI's radar.
So they built the case, and then they arrested me. They were trying to give me a life sentence. I was scared, to be honest with you. I was scared like a little kid, and I knew that I was gonna spend the rest of my life in prison and die there.
While awaiting his trial, Jamie met Gene Lawson. For a man in prison, he was unusually happy.
But here I am. I can't sleep at night. I'm worried sick, I'm afraid. And here this man been sentenced to 25 years, and he's walking like he don't have a care in the world. And deep down, I didn't tell him, but I wanted what he had. He had a peace, and I longed for that.
Over the next few weeks, Gene talked about the peace that comes from faith in Jesus, no matter where you are. But Jamie resisted, afraid it would make him appear weak. Until one Sunday, he found himself outside the prison chapel.
And I went in and I sat all the way in the back because I'm still conscious. I don't want my homeboys to see me. And next thing I know, this man started speaking. It seemed like everything he was saying was directly at me. It was something that I was living. It was piercing my heart. It was like he was in my thoughts. It was like this man was in my heart. I felt this great urge to cry. I ran out that chapel and I ran hard to my cell there, and I started crying. I cried hard. I never cried. It was a different kind of cry. And I said, God, if you're real, give me what Gene has. I wanted what Gene had. And then I went to sleep.
A couple hours later, Jamie woke up and went looking for Gene. He found him in the cafeteria and told Gene about his encounter with God.
And he asked me a question. He said, do you want to feel this peace forever? And I said, yes, sir. And he opened that little black book and he went to Romans chapter 10. And he shared with me the gospel, the plan. We got it on our knees. And I did the sinner's prayer. I repented of my sins. And I received the Lord in my heart. I felt a weight come off me. You would think that in prison is meant for you to lose your freedom, but actually, I found my freedom in prison. And then my journey started with Jesus.
Jamie lost his case and was sentenced to 25 years. But having found peace and acceptance through Christ, prison didn't scare him anymore. He used the time inside to share Christ with others.
The 700 Club would come in the morning, and boy, I would get inspired. And that's what God used to start my first Bible study in jail. God used me as a missionary in prison. And everywhere I went, I started a Bible study.
Later, a nonprofit picked up his case and fought for a mistrial. They won, and after serving only 10 years, Jamie was set free.
Today, by the grace of God, I go all around the country and tell people of a great God who's able to redeem, save, change. I don't care what your past looked like. it can be the worst of worst. And he loves you unconditionally. And he has a future for you. Please just trust him. Just cry out to him. He loves you with everything in him.
What a story. Jamie wanted peace. That's what people want. Billy Graham wrote a bestseller called Peace with God. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not like the world gives, give I unto you. I'm giving you peace. I'm not going to take it back. I will give you everlasting peace. Peace with God. Peace with your fellow man. You don't have to fight anymore. You don't have to fight anymore. You don't have to fight your own sinful nature anymore. You give it over to the Lord. And that nature dies. And there comes a new creation. If anybody's in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all has become new. And if you want that, and so many of you want peace, you don't have to suffer and struggle. Right now, if you will come to the Lord and pray this prayer with me and give your heart to the Lord, you will know peace with God, peace with your fellow man, and peace with yourself. Bow your head. Wherever you are, peace with God. Pray this word, these words, Jesus. That's right. Pray with me, Jesus. You know my life. You know what I've done. You know the sin and sins that I have committed. You know how I've hurt myself. You know how I've hurt others. I'm sorry, God. Please forgive me. Please forgive me, Lord. I come to you as a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so now, Lord, I turn my life over to you. And from this moment on, I am yours. Thank you, Lord, that you have heard my prayer. And thank you, Lord, that you've come into my heart. And thank you that from this moment on, I have the peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, up next.
One, two. Good morning. Been up since 4 this morning. I was telling my son earlier, it's a miracle, man, that I made it this far. You know, when you're in prison, church in prison is just different, man, you know. Everybody that backs against the wall, you know, you're in bondage. But, man, you're so hungry for Papa. You're just hungry for Papa, man, you know. And the body there is, we're so close-knitted, you feel me? And we honest, you know, brutally honest, because we want to get healed. You feel me? We want to get healed. And the only way we get healed, you got to be honest with yourself. Then you come out of prison, and then you think, you know, that church out here is just like in now. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. But if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, I don't know, I was telling him, I'm thankful, grateful. I don't know, you know, I don't have a lot of answers, don't understand a lot of things, but I'm so glad that he fixed his eyes on me. I'm so grateful. I'm also grateful, man, that the Lord, throughout this journey, allowed me to meet some key folk, strategic. I thank God for John Burroughs. You know, I believe God did something supernaturally. I never had a godly father, godly mother. My first Bible ever was in the chain gang. I wasn't raised. I didn't know nothing about prayer and none of this. I was in a broken home in the South Bronx. We were dead poor. poor. My stepdaddy was an alcoholic. Very abusive. Kicked my mother down. I don't know, it was a little shorty. And I would urinate on myself after seeing him beat my mama down. That's how I was raised, eating potted meat, Vienna sausages, rice. I love me some rice now. I'm a rice-eating Puerto Rican. Because sometimes we ain't had nothing but rice with rice. But I was oblivious to the spiritual aspect. And so I believe that supernaturally God knitted our hearts together like a father and a son. God does things supernaturally, right? If Mary was able to give birth to the Savior being a virgin, you feel me? Let's not put God in a box. Also, I thank the Lord Jesus for allowing me to cross paths with Pastor Gilbert, his wonderful wife. I remember the first time, the other church, same spirit, right? Powerful, right? You have a mantle. You know, and I praise God for your life and thank you for allowing me to exhibit the gifting in me. Thank you so much. The Lord woke me up this morning. I had another message I was sharing with Papa yesterday about what I was going to preach. And 4 o'clock this morning, he blew my mind and said, nah, bro, you're going to speak on this. And he dropped it in my spirit. He downloaded the thing. Blem, blem, blem. And he just spoke. He said, church, don't quit. Church, don't quit. Go with me to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Church, don't quit. And let me tell you, this ain't got nothing to do with no building, no edifice. This got to do with you. In other words, please, don't quit. Please, don't quit. I believe that if it wasn't for the church, I'd be in hell. You got to understand, none of my family, none of them, as far as I can remember, no Christians. They were professing Catholics, but they were crazy. I mean, it was just, you know what I'm saying. You feel me? You know what I'm saying. But I believe that behind the scenes, God had a church. He got you. And I love that song, Yours is the Kingdom, right? And the Lord gave me a little revelation standing right there. And you know what I'm saying? Where's your drummer at? Can I see your, where's the drummer? Can you come up here for a minute? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the young lady that was here for a minute, can she come up? Because the one that was singing that song. Please, please, and I want you to, you know, hit that beat, you know, hit that beat, yeah. And let's stay with the yours is the key, you know. Just. And maybe we need the piano. Just come on, man. Yeah. Y'all come up for a minute, just for a minute, please. Hey. You know, I'm an orthodox. I like to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And God dropped something in me while we were playing this song. And you go ahead. You go ahead. And just give me the chorus. You know, yours is the... But, you know, put some spot. You know...
There's no power
I was standing next to my man, and I said, you got heaven right there. And I'm standing next to you, and I'm living in hell. Let me in. Listen. Let your kingdom come. You don't understand how important you is, the church. We got folk every day around us, sick, in despair, broken, hopeless. Then we got a Christian right at the right spot, and instead of offering the kingdom, we offer them foolishness. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about everything but the kingdom. And then if we're just talking about a kingdom, I can't see the kingdom. You're talking a good game, but I can't see it. And here I am, kingdom, the kingdom right there, heaven so close and yet so far. Please, church, don't quit. You too legit to quit. Thank you, thank you. Listen. If it wasn't out behind the scene, I believe that there was a church praying for Jamie, praying for the lost. There was a church on Wednesdays night having prayer virgins. There was a church fasting. There was a church, amen, that God left on this earth. He left you to be a playmaker in the kingdom of God. He left you to be a difference maker in the kingdom of God. People are depending on you. People that you don't even know. I believe that God was using the church to pray for the lost. And in that number, I was in there. People depending on us. No time to fumble the ball. No time for you to drop the ball. 2 Corinthians 4. Let me read from the Amplified. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, just as we receive mercy from God, granting us salvation's opportunity and blessing, we do not get discouraged nor lose our motivation. Listen, God has given this church, City Church, a ministry. You, he has given you a ministry because of his grace, not because you deserve it, not because you was from the upper echelon of people, but because of his grace that was bestowed upon you and me. Amen. In other words, he cleans us up, amen. Then he packages up, and then he offers us to the people. Because of his grace, you're saved by grace. But in that, he's giving you and me a ministry, the ministry to reconcile people. And what the enemy, one of his plans is to try to get you discouraged, get you to quit, get you to throw the towel. Understand this. If it wasn't for church, for the people of God, I believe I would have been in hell, separated from God for an eternity. I believe that. I thank God that when God saved you, he had me on his mind. In Jesus' name, amen. But we see the enemy like a flood coming, trying to discourage us from pressing. I spoke to, when I said this morning, came to the pastor, and the pastor said, man, we just pressing. You know, we're pressing. We need to continue to press. We need to honor God because he has given us a ministry. He's trusting you and me with his most prized possessions, that is souls. When I got shot 6 times in my chest, not too far from him, Savannah, Georgia, I was a month and a half in a coma. I didn't know Jesus. I'm on my way to hell. Listen to what I'm saying. There was a battle. There was a battle. Let me get down, chill. There was a battle, man. And we had the angels of darkness pulling on me. We got him. But all of a sudden, angels of light came through. I believe because there was a church praying for souls, praying for fasting for souls, a church pastors giving their lives, dedicating their lives. Amen. Some of us, we take our pastors for granted. We treat them common. We treat people of the world, feel me, with more dignity than we treat our preachers. No wonder we in the state that we in. We forgot, man, that God cleaned you up when you was on your way to hell, when you was out there doing some crazy madness with no hope. He came through, picked you up, washed you up. You know, one of the things that I love about the Lord, you know, in prison, you know how you be in the hospital? Because I go to the hospital to visit folks. I went there a couple of months ago, and they made me put on this blue thing in a mask, you know, to go pray. Well, I was in a hole. As a matter of fact, I was not too far from here. I was at the federal penitentiary here, the castle, though. Yeah, I was there. Y'all were right there. Yeah. But I had a stench on me, sin. Man, I hated myself. I didn't have no identity. I had a stench, man. But Jesus came in that cell, and he didn't say, let me put on some gloves. He didn't say none of that. Let me put up a roll. He came right in there under that stench. And the first thing he loved on me, kissed on me. I was telling my man, I said, stand right here, Victor, for a moment. I said, they're playing that song. I said, they go heaven right here. I'm living in hell. Man, let me in. We become callous. We have left our first love. We treat church like a social club. Man, it's crazy, man. I said, let me in, man. You got heaven. I'm in hell. and what you said to me. We got everything.
We share everything but heaven. Money, whatever. Won't give them heaven, though.
Why? Because giving us heaven, you got to die to yourself. That's why. That's why. Thank you, son. Jesus came in that cell. That's what saved me was his love. It wasn't a whole bunch of, I didn't know how to read. When I was in prison, I got arrested in 1990. I learned how to read in prison. And I don't even know how to read that well even now, but I praise God. I ain't gonna sit up here and lie to you. We ain't gonna go that route. We gonna keep it 100. We gonna keep it true, amen. Got my GED in prison after failed 3 times. 3 times. Yeah, let's keep it 100. But I know that God, because of his grace, gave you a ministry. In other words, he don't only clean you up, but he put you to work. That's one thing about God, ain't it? Once he clean you up, you know, because a lot of people, once you mess up, they really say, yeah, I forgive you, but they don't got no use for you. Thank God that God has a use for me and you. He said, I'm giving you this ministry. The ministry of reconciliation. You got heaven all in your belly. And I got hell. I need you to get it. Let me go up in there. Bring that heaven. Let me get a taste of that heaven, though. But when I talk to you, you're just as sick as me. You got unforgiveness in your heart. You mad at the world. You feel me? You got a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. It's crazy. Meanwhile, folk like me dying in them streets. 100 churches all around us. And hell. Listen to me. We got to get back to loving God, bro. We got to get our priorities straight. A month and a half in a coma in Savannah. But I believe Church of God, praying the body, praying for the Lord. Please, Lord. Amen. Fasting, sacrificing. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, God is trusting you. He trusts you. One time I was like, Papa, I said, Papa, you the wisest. But man, you made a move that I'm really perplexed. He said, what move I made? I said, how in the world you know that Judas is a thief and you gonna put him down with you and give him the money back? What? No. Papa, I ain't trying to be, but man, that thing sound crazy, Papa. Break it down to me. You know what Papa said to me? He said, I trusted and believed in Judas when he didn't believe in himself. I saw in Judas what he didn't see, and I decided to give him an opportunity. When men don't want to give you an opportunity, I will. See, statistic-wise, I'm not supposed to be before you today. I didn't know what a preacher was. God is my witness, man. Listen what I'm saying. And I didn't have no interest. My thing was money. Because I came from rice with rice. When you give somebody that never had no little money, little tape, boy, you done created a monster. I woke up in Savannah, all kinds of wires and a year later, I moved to Florida, opened up shop, kept me, he preserved me, knowing that I was going to go back, move to Brooksville, Florida, open up shop, making crazy loot. One day, come to the house. I've been gone for 2 or 3 days. Woman, good woman, got fed up. Next thing I know, cut my whole throat with a razor blade. I couldn't go to the hospital. I had a lot of dope and money. Because I heard a voice say, if you go around there, they're going to check your blood. And you've been tooting. And once they find out you've been tooting, they're going to, because you got the devil trying to kill you. He know really who you is. See, we've been, and me and Pastor Gilbert were talking about, and I love his spirit. Thank God for you. You know, he believes not separation and putting people in categories. This is one body. Now, he loves the cultures. Well, he loves the cultures because every culture, I call it blended. It's like, I don't call people mixed, no more mixed. You blended. You so blended. It's like having a fruit cocktail, right? Strawberry, nana, grape, blended. Yeah. Oh, Lord. The church is blended. I believe, this is what he told me. Cut my throat. Enemy trying to kill me. He whispered, don't go around there. Probable cause, they're going to get a warrant. And because money and all that was my God, because I didn't want to go back to be a Rudy poop, I wanted people to, hey, shot caller, big baller. It used to make me feel good because I always felt inferior. I had a complex. Yeah, man, I had an identity crisis. And so money gave me that identity because people acknowledged me. The thought of that, of me losing that, nah. So I took a towel and I put it around my neck. Next thing I know, thank God that my little homie came and saw me in the window, big old king-size bed, full of blood. When I woke up about 3 days later, doctor jumped back and said, they gave me about 3 or 4 blood transfers. He said, man, you would think. I believe there was a church praying. Let's go back to categories. Even in church, we sit here, powerful anointing, and all we do is beat ourselves down right here. Feeling unworthy. The past, we might be going through something. We're full of guilt. Beating you, I ain't no good. And then we compare ourselves, why can't I be like him or like her? They're always happy, they sing and they. And we become to feel bad about ourselves. Because unfortunately for this nation, and this is the only nation I know, I love my country, but I'm gonna keep it real. We put people in categories. Now Moses, before he was even born, he didn't have no chance to do right or wrong. Yeah, there was a hit on him to kill him. It wasn't because he was Jewish or bad. It was because of his destiny. See, the enemy knew who Moses was. He posed a threat to the kingdom of darkness. You might be going through some stuff, and you know what I'm saying? And you done got tricked in thinking that you ain't no good, that you sorry, and that you never gonna have a shot. That's a lie. It's that he recognized that there's a great destiny in you, and he's trying to get you to have an abortion, to quit. Look at this. Stay with me, please. Look. it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, why? Because you have received mercy from God, granting us, what did he grant us? Salvation, not only salvation, opportunities and blessings. Look at that. Now, let's go down, let's draw a little bit. Let's go to verse 14. Look at it. And we got to know this. If you don't know this, and I got telling my man this morning, I was talking to Brother Paul earlier this morning. I said, Paul, he's at the Better Way. And I said, if you don't know your assignment, boy, you're going to be wandering around here for 100 years, frustrated like many Christians. When you know your assignment, when you know that you were built for a purpose, you feel me? Bro, that makes all the difference in the world. Because whenever the enemy shoot at you, you'll be able to, you know, I mean, you're going to get hit every now and then, but you're going to roll with the, you know what I'm saying? And if you got to cry a little bit, you're going to cry, you know, throw water in your face, come back, I'm ready. You know what I mean? We good, we Gucci, we straight. The problem is we don't know. He said right here, he said, therefore, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us along with you in his presence. Just as God is raising you, guess what? You'll be able to raise other folk. You become the plug. You the plug. Yeah. You become the plug, see? And just like God raised you up, right? Then you'll be able to raise other people up because you carry glory inside of you. You got the heaven that them folk need. You got the answer. As a matter of fact, Allen Iverson, they call you know, you the answer. The church is the answer, not the politicians. You're around here talking crazy about a man, you're supposed to be praying for them folk. You ain't supposed to be caught up in no foolishness. Listen, bro, and look what it says. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us along with you in his presence. 15, for all these things are for your sake, so that as God's remarkable, undeserved grace reaches to more and more people. Amen. People need to know and see God's grace, and you are a transporter. Listen to me. Stop whining and feeling sorry for yourself. God has called you, bruh. There's greatness inside of you. We're the church, the redeemed. When I was in prison, listen, man, I ain't going to tell that every day. Man, some days I want, as a Christian, man, I was afflicted. My flesh, you know, I ain't no animal. I ain't built to be no house, you know, caged up. There was days that they were tough. In those days, guess what happened? Out of nowhere, back then, because now I know the Holy Ghost. I love what you said. You feel like praying, because God showed me that this morning. If you feel like praying in the spirit, and the scripture that came up was, you know why a lot of people ain't built up? Because they don't pray in the spirit. That's why we live around here defeated, bro. And as a matter of fact, people shun away. When you say you're a Christian, the first thing people say, man, let me get away from this clown. And the first and second thing they do, they put their hand in pocket because they know you're going to ask for something. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. See, I come to challenge you. Get away from being indifferent. Get back to loving God. Get back to loving yourself. You know, Love your community. Love your church. Yo, this thing here, this right here, is strategically placed here. This is a hospital for sinners, B. Folk are living in hell out there, and you got heaven all around you. Let me in. It says, don't be weary. Don't be faint-hearted. I was looking up the word faint-hearted, you know, and I write chicken scratch, you feel me? Faint, right? It says, without great strength. When you faint, you have no courage or vigor to sink into dejection, rejection, to lose courage or spirit, to be depressed or despondent, to decay, to disappear, to vanish. That's why the enemy, he likes to get you full of faint, faint-hearted, you know, weary, tired. Because he knows you won't be no good. The light will start going dimmer and dimmer. For all these things are for your sake, so that as God's remarkable, undeserved grace reaches to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not become, verse 16, discouraged or spiritless, disappointed or afraid. We spend hours and hours in front of CNN and Fox News. Come on, bro. Won't you take that energy and open up the Word of God and spend time with Papa in His presence and watch what's going to happen. Watch what's going to happen. We got the power to change atmosphere. I tell myself this, and I'm just saying, here's a Puerto Rican, ignorant, in New York, man, broken family, messed up, crazy, and God plucked me. And he plucked me. He said, I'm called. My next book, Lord willing, the name of the book, and I know it might sound crazy, but I'm going to be obedient to God until the day I die. The name of the book is going to be Coming Out the Doodle House. Yes, it is. I know. First of all, it's not for Christians. First of all, it's going to be in Walmart. And them different kind of folk, because you got different kind of culture. Come through Walmart, you know? Rednecks and doodle how. Doodle how. And then I found me an old outhouse. I promised about 5 years ago. I got pictures. Got a professional photographer. Nobody seen these pictures. I got them stashed for the book. They're gonna be old outhouse. And guess who's coming out the house? Me. I'm like this. You gonna see it. Coming out the doodle. Listen to what I'm telling you, bro. Listen, man, I promise, God cleans us up. We smell, that's the problem. We get a little bit arrogant after a while, and then we develop the spirit of entitlement. Man, that's the craziest thing in the world. We so easily forget that not too long ago, what keeps me going is the fact that God told me a couple of things. He taught me. He said, be teachable, buddy. Remember, and that's why communion is so powerful. Communion, a lot of churches don't got away from that, but I'm telling you, first of all, communion represents healing, the body. You can get healed. But the thing is, do it in remembrance. God always want to keep you reminded of how he plucked you out of nothing. So he cleans us up, perfumes us down, packaged, and then he goes, yeah, and he give it to the people. But we get around here, we get offended at people. And we get the big, you know what I'm saying? I want to be approachable. I told the Lord, I don't care, Lord, wherever you take me. I don't care. I'm not going to leave my prison ministry. by the grace of God, I go to 13 prisons. As a matter of fact, by the grace of God, last week, I went to Concord, North Carolina. One of the biggest juvenile detention centers. Stonewall Jackson. You can Google. You can Google something. Google. I went in there. 12, 11 years old. Doing 15, 20. Juvenile. That I'm talking about. Beautiful. They're beautiful. Our people. Up in there. And the Lord sent me there last week. He gave me a message on time that they can really relate to. You feel me? No big words. Not all super. Just keep it clean and keep it straight to the point. Out of 39 young men, 20 came running to the altar by the grace of God, receive the Lord. Amen. And I told the Lord, I don't care book signing. I don't care. I'm not going to send folk to the, I'm going to the prison ministry. This is something that, because I got born in prison, born again. See, I know I've been given a charge. You see the charge that Papa, that's a powerful thing, right? First, he gave the charge to the parents, then to the congregation. We do. I've been given a charge. He said, boy, I clean you up. Remember when you wanted to die? Remember when I went to prison, all my friends, my mama never come see me in prison. I don't want to get to crying, man. I ain't like to talk about it. Never. I never got a visit. Never got a letter from my brothers and sisters. Never be. There was time I felt broken in that prison. And the Holy Spirit would just give me a song. I don't know how, but just I start singing. One of the songs I used to sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. The Lord and I, we both agree. The Lord and I, we both agree. The Lord and I, we both agree that I love him and he loves me. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. Check this out. The devil is mad, and I'm so glad. The devil is mad, and I'm so glad. The devil is mad, and I'm so glad. He lost a soul that he thought he had. Come on. All my sins are washed away. Kingsley, I've been you the quiet. And before you know it, I felt a freedom. And before you know it, great Bible study. Why? Because I've been given a charge. You've been given a charge. There's people in your family held captive by the devil. And you got heaven inside of you, and you're being selfish. Don't grow weary and doing well. The God that you and me serve, he's a promise keeper. He will honor his word. He comes through, and all he's looking for, believers, you call yourself a believer, why you ain't believing God? That he'll take you out of that situation. That he'll get you through to get you through it. To get through it, you got to go through it. He'll do it. He's faithful and just. But we got to answer the bell, bruh. Because the enemy, he's trying to get you discouraged. He's trying to get the fight out of you. Discouraged. He want to get the fight out of you. And there's people depending, even in your job. People, man, sick as a dog. Some of them, they even hate some, you know, people that, but they there and God has assigned them to you because you got what it takes. Amen. Come on, church. I believe that God preserved me more than ever today. Today's my 19th anniversary. And look where he has me, at City Church. You think it's by coincidence that God brought me right here today to speak this word to you, to let you know, look, your labor of love is not in vain. There's a lot of Jamies out there that are looking and depending on you to continue to fight the good fight of faith. Please, I give you a charge today that God, in his mercy and because of his grace, he has given you an opportunity to come and work along him. Ain't that something, the King of Kings? He trusts you and me. Please, step up. One more scripture and I'm through. I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, but how do we get back? You know what I'm saying? How do we get back to the grind and get back to, he said, praying. Simple. And he took me to Luke chapter 18. Can we go around now? Verse 1, now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not to give up and lose heart. If you don't want to grow weary, then you got to continue to pray. That's what I'm saying. We have left the basics. We cannot rely on just coming to church. I feel goosebumps, and then go back to the aisle and be doing some, you know, wasting your, you know what I'm saying? This isn't about religion. This is a relationship. Let me tell you something, man. If I go to the house, I've been gone, I'm going to be gone till tomorrow, up to two, well, Monday night when I get home. And if I come to the aisle, and I don't, you know, and the first thing, my wife, because she's a ministry woman, so she want to, you know, get me to sit down, you know, get the atmosphere, and then she want to tell me, baby, how it went. She, you know, she wants to fellowship and communicate. You know what I'm saying? Imagine if I go to the house and say, man, I'm tired, man. I'm finna go to sleep. Oh, man. I don't know how to cook. That means I'm in for. You feel me? Jesus, boy, he loves us. He loves the fellowship with me and you. He loves that communion. Amen. He loves it. Prayer changes things. Prayer, man. Continue while you're driving the truck or in the shower. Just talk to Papa. And while you're talking, get honest. Tell him about that. He already know your struggle. But just confess it. Get it out. Get that sickness out. And watch. He'll do a mighty work. He will renew that spirit in you. Like he gave you that scripture. He gave you that scripture in Pastor John in Psalm 51. Is it renew? What was the spirit? The right spirit. Man, give me that back. Man, give me that thing back. You know what I'm saying? He'll do it. Don't tell me he won't do it. Because you've been given an assignment. And you're precious. Thank God for the church. Thank God for you. Thank you. Because if it wasn't for the church, I don't know where I would be today. And today, from a criminal, a thug, to a preacher. Amen. So can number 11 on that CD, Renew My Mind. Let's ask God. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, download our NCC app, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or join our Facebook group. Thank you and have a blessed week.